Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, why do shadow men show up in her life during times of stress? Are they there to help, or what do they want?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, share those real ghost stories with us if you would. You can call in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You know, you could become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Harper's here today. How's it going, girl?
It's going good. How are you, Carol?
Pretty good. You know, I don't like the idea of shadow people showing up at any time, but it's even more cruel when you're having a lot of stress. And then here come the shadow people. It's like, I got enough going on. And now y'all show up again.
Or maybe it's not like necessarily anything bad, but like maybe it's more like just figures like a representation, representing that stress. Like maybe they just like follow you around and go away like when you're not stressed. It's like not like necessarily anything bad, but it's like, I guess like something to like more so help you like recognize it.
Oh.
If like you haven't already recognized it yet.
So sort of kind of like the outwardly manifestation of your stress. It's like external almost that you're projecting it and it's kind of around you. That's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought of it like that. And I wonder if it really is an external manifestation of your stress or if it's just kind of how you're perceiving it. You've given me something to think about.
Yeah.
So let's dive into it and see if what you say, your theory, might be right. It says, I have been followed by shadow people my entire life. It all began when I was a child and my grandfather passed away. My grandfather was my favorite person in the world. We shared a love for blueberry pancakes and ghost stories. Shortly after his passing, I stayed the night with my grandmother because she let me stay up as late as I could watching cartoons. A little after midnight, she had gone to bed and I was wide awake. I saw a shadow figure walking into the living room and out of instinct, I assumed it was my grandfather going into the kitchen for a late night snack. Then it hit me. He was no longer with us. I jumped up quickly. The shadow had stopped in the doorway and stared at me. I flipped the light switch on as it was right by the couch and the figure disappeared. I knew it wasn't my grandfather's ghost because it felt invasive. My grandmother later told me she had an experience that night as well. A dark figure by her bed and she awoke nearly suffocating. I don't like that at all.
Oh, no. Okay, so maybe it's not representations of stress. Maybe it's like something bad.
Or maybe there are two different things. So let's continue. So it says, years later, my family and I moved to our dream house, a house too good to be true. Other events transpired there, causing us to pack our things and go. But that's a story for another time. I want to hear that one too. Many nights in that house, I would see the shadow man. Always in my doorway, always watching. He only shows up during times of immense pain in my life. And at this time, I was being haunted by another spirit and at my wit's end. Once we moved and the haunting ceased, so did the shadow man's visits until I was 21, when my first serious boyfriend and I broke up. I no longer lived with my parents, but visited them often as I was extremely alone. One night, I dreamt that a car pulled up to the side of our house. Somehow, I knew it was a station wagon that carried 5 passengers. I heard the car door slam and the door to my house open. This awoke me from my dream and I saw a group of shadow men surrounding my bed. I tried to move, but they instantly pushed me back onto the bed and held me down. The shadow man in the middle was chanting what sounded like something satanic. I fought myself free. And as I felt myself lift from my bed, the figures disappeared. I later noticed marks on my arms, but I was trying to write this one off as sleep paralysis. I'm going to say here that definitely could be sleep paralysis. And even the scratches on your arms, I think that you know, you feel like you're pinned down, but you might be somehow scratching yourself. But those dreams are so strange. They feel so 100% real.
I know, but I think, all the, the sleep paralysis is honestly maybe not, really anything paranormal. Because, we hear so many stories of sleep paralysis, happening in the sight of stress.
Yes. Very much so. Because I do think that extreme stress can bring on that sleep paralysis. And those dreams are so intense and so frightening and so real.
Because stress is, because, number one, it's just such a bad energy, and that can attract bad energy.
I agree.
And that may be, what those shadow figures are, if they're not, just representations of stress.
Girl, you are wiser than your years. So, it goes on and says, and I mean that as an extreme compliment.
It says,
the same dream occurred the next time I slept in that room, and needless to say, I no longer would go in there. I went a long time without seeing the shadow men. I am now engaged and extremely happy with where my life is headed. I told my fiancé that if he ever sees a shadow man, not to tell me. For once I noticed their presence, it's hard to shake them off. I've only seen the shadow men once more since the encounters with my parents. It again was during a time of extreme stress. I believe they feed off my negative energy. Exactly what you just said. I awoke in the evening because I heard steps running around my bed, back and forth. I thought it was my dog, and I planned to put him back in his kennel. I opened my eyes, saw a shadow man moving quickly around my bed, stopping where my fiancé lay and coming back to me. He did not notice I was awake. I was infuriated. I had spent years without them in my life, and I wasn't ready to begin again. Normally, I cannot make sounds when they are near, but I beckoned, "What do you want from me?" He stopped right in front of me, leaned down, and said, "Shh," before disappearing again. Sorry my story is so long. As I said, they've been with me my entire life. I will write in again about what transpired after we left. I will say things did not end well for the family after us. Then it ends there. That's from Nikki.
So, really? They just had to leave us at a cliffhanger?
That is an extreme cliffhanger. That's not even kind.
That's unfair, because I want to know what happened to that family.
Hopefully, Nikki will write back in at some point. So,
let's hope.
Do you think that maybe the thing that happened with Grandma and then the other shadow people, you think that could be two different things?
Maybe.
It also seems like they could be connected because Nikki has seen similar things throughout her life.
Maybe it could be the same thing, just projected in different ways. If you really think about it, all that stress going around could, is very well affecting everybody around here. So, everybody else that was, seeing these, people, especially, the mom, being, suffocated in the beginning of the story, I feel like that might have just been, the mom stress. Because, in, times of stress, I understand how you can almost feel, suffocated.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, you can't, really do anything. So that may not even, be the figures itself. That may just, be your stress, really, becoming, real.
Yes.
Not even, the things, that are going on with the stress, but the feelings, of stress.
That's a good point. Because then, if you're feeling all this stress in your life, then it's manifesting in your dreams.
Yeah.
And so, not saying there are no shadow people in her life, but I think a lot of that could be sleep paralysis dreams. Because the ones I've had, I swear I was wide awake. I swear I was awake and that stuff was happening. But I really don't think I was.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just this different, and it's that feeling of, I can't move. I can't stop this. And I do think that's interesting that as an adult, when she was, saw the shadow person after years and said, "What do you want from me?" And then he leaned down and said, "Shh." But that's been it. Doesn't sound like there was another occurrence after that.
Yeah.
Maybe she stood up to the shadow people and maybe I like to think it stopped. We've got a caller. Here it is.
Oops. Hey, guys. This is Tel Asplav in South Dakota. This is actually a story about my mom that she had when she worked at a flower shop before she met my dad. Actually, I think my mom and dad were dating at the time, but before me and my sister were born. And she told me that she was working at this little flower shop that used to be a bar. And in this bar, somebody was shot in the attic. And she said the whole time that she was working there, nobody would want to go to the attic because you just get an uneasy feeling. It just wasn't right up there. Anyway, one day, I think it was probably a weekend, it was her, my mom, and one other person working in the flower shop. And, you know, they're doing, floral arrangements. Like, there's a table with a coffee can and all the tools you use to make, you know, like, flower baskets and floral arrangements and stuff like that. And when my mom was standing right behind her, there was a shelf with a whole bunch of baskets on them, just a whole bunch of different sized baskets. So they're working, and my mom is behind with her back to the shelf on this table, and there's a person right across from her working, and they're the only two people in the building. My mom said that, you know, they were just talking, and all of a sudden the lady she's working with just stopped talking, and her eyes got really huge. Mom was like, what? And all of a sudden something hits her in the back of the head, kind of like towards the top of the head, but like still on the back. And my mom was like, what was that? She turns around, and one of the baskets that were on the shelves had flung off and hit her in the back of the head. My mom said that the lady she's working with watched it, the basket slowly start to slide and then just get flung off right at my mom's head. And it wasn't like a huge basket, so my mom didn't get hurt or anything, but the lady she was working with got really, really spooked. So anyway, my mom just kind of brushes it off. They just keep working. And about an hour later, she watched the pliers that were in the coffee can in the middle of the table where all their tool was. She said that she watched a pair of pliers rise out of the coffee can, go over to the table where there's like no table, and drop on the floor. And she said after that, she kind of got a little spooked, and she was just like, okay, we know you're here. We have to keep working, and we'll be gone soon. Just please don't bother us anymore. And she said, and after that, there really wasn't any occurrences at all. So I hope you enjoyed my story. I thought I'd tell you, let you know. I love you guys' show. Keep up the good work. And if it wasn't for your show, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. So thank you, and have a good one.
Thanks for that story. What do you think about that? It's super, super paranormal stuff happened, and then nothing ever happened again.
Well, I think like the mom like saying like telling you like to leave like start like and like almost like asserting like her dominance like over the household, and that like she's in charge, like, and not the spirit. It's like definitely like something that doesn't happen often, especially like where like it actually like complies and leaves. Because there's a lot of cases where it'll just get worse.
Do you think something could just be passing through, or you think that it's just there all the time and showed itself one day and it was like, okay, you saw me, you acknowledged me, that's all I needed?
Maybe, or maybe it could also be like somewhat of like a seasonal thing. Because like obviously with like winter.
That's a good point.
Because, like, obviously with, like, winter, there's, like, such things as, like, seasonal depression and all these, like, negative energy and feelings. Now, we really don't, like, I didn't catch, like, that there was, like, any, like, specified season going on. But, like, if it was, like, winter or spring, obviously something could very much be happening. Because, also, we do see, like, cases where it happens in timelines where, like, it may be, like, a special day or, like, a special, like, time of year that like this paranormal thing is like happening through. So it would make sense if it was like winter or something,
mm-hmm.
and like and like an event, like the part, like this spirit, like maybe becoming deceased and while dying, like it could obviously bring like the spirit like to be more active, because like that's like maybe like the season that it happened in. It could also be like generally like the place in general, and place is a very like common thing that we see here. Like obviously there's haunted houses, haunted buildings, haunted theaters even. But I feel like if it like would have just like left like that, I don't really see it being like as like a locational thing, more as like a seasonal thing.
That's interesting. I like that idea. And I do think sometimes it helps to acknowledge it.
Yeah, definitely. Now the thing is, it could also be a locational and seasonal thing at the same time.
Could be.
Because maybe it happened in this certain spot at this certain time of year.
I think that's an interesting theory. You are like I said, you are wise beyond your years.
Thank you so much, Carol. That really means a lot.
That's the truth, too. So we've got one more story, and it says, my name is Chuck. I'm from Indiana. The house I grew up in was an old farmhouse, at least 100 years old, and it always seemed clear that the place was haunted. I'd seen things like the silhouette of a person wrapped in white light in the house, usually out of the corner of my eye. Strange footsteps could be heard when no one else was home. And the creepiest part of the house was the second floor. As you walked up the stairs, there was always this feeling of something unfriendly watching you. I remember sitting on the steps crying after being sent to my room because I didn't want to be up there alone. Even as a teenager, I will not go up there after dark. Even in the daylight, the lights must be on for me to go up there. Sounds so much like the house I grew up in. One summer night, I tried to get some relief from the heat by sticking one foot out from under my covers. Oh my God, Kathy and I talk about this all the time. I cannot do that. I cannot put my foot out of a cover. Like I will, it'll be hot and I will still have my feet covered up, period. Do you sleep like that, or are you okay with just your foot hanging over the bed or your arm or your foot out of the covers?
I'm sorry, I don't really even think about it. Like, half the time I'm so exhausted, I just, like, pass out in my bed.
And it all goes back from the house when I was a kid. Because, like, I would be like a little burrito in my bed. I had everything wrapped up, and we didn't have air conditioning in that house. So it could be really hot, it could be really cold in there. And you'd just be wrapped up, nothing. I, to this day, cannot have my hand or my foot hanging over the bed or my feet outside of the covers, period. That's so funny. Oh. So this person, too. So it says, before I could fall asleep, something grabbed my foot, which is why I don't want my feet out of it. Oh,
I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. Oh.
I quickly pulled my foot back under the blanket. I can't sleep there at night if I'm not covered up from neck to toe. I am now 25 years old and still fall asleep with the lights on some nights when the atmosphere feels heavy. Once I was asleep on the couch and my mom was trying to wake me up for school. I felt the pressure of a hand on my stomach, which instantly sent me up off the couch. When my mom passed away from issues from COPD and asthma, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, I sat in her rocker and heard her tell me, it's okay. It's like I can breathe for the first time. Oh
my gosh, that's so sad.
That gets me in my heart. When my grandmother passed away in a nursing home from lung cancer, I literally watched her stand in the doorway of the room in a white dress. She smiled and spun her dress, turned and walked away. That's beautiful too.
Beautiful.
I was shocked when we got to the funeral home and a picture of her in the same white dress was posted on a board. She looked in that picture just as she did when she walked out of the room. It was a younger her, but definitely her. I live in the house. Isn't that beautiful?
That just warms my heart and breaks it at the same time.
Exactly.
Because, it's just so sad.
It's sad, but then it shows that beautiful side of her back when she was young and before lung cancer and happy and carefree.
Yeah.
At a time that she probably was really content in her life.
Yeah.
I live in the house I grew up in at the end of the dead end gravel road out in the woods. I don't believe my experiences are only connected to the house, though, as I have had other experiences with a boy in my dorm in college. My roommate and I left toys on the floor for him to play with, and he seemed to enjoy playing with our Halloween decorations. In an apartment I lived in, I would often lay in my bed at night in the back of the complex, and while I was trying to sleep, I would hear people whispering in my living room. I tried to chalk it up to my fish tank to comfort myself so I could sleep soundly. Fish tank noises don't really sound like people whispering noises, but I also get you gotta sleep, so you gotta tell yourself whatever it takes.
Yeah.
My dad recently told me he intends to sell the house and property. I believe the ghosts are unhappy about this. I talk with them sometimes and tell them that I'm very sorry, but I have no choice in the matter and I must leave in a month. I have many other stories I would love to share. I love listening to your show and your theories on what is what. Hope to talk to you again soon, Chuck. That's interesting. It's almost like he's developed a relationship with the ghosts in the house. And I do have a theory. I think that when you grow up like that, that you kind of are more sensitive to it throughout your life. So I think by him growing up in an environment like that, open the door for him to have an experience with his mother, for him to have an experience with his grandmother.
Yeah.
For him to have experiences at the college dorm. So I do think that he's probably sensitive, and I kind of think that might be where the sensitivity started. But I also think once you get kind of a relationship with a ghost like that, I do think it might be healthy for him to move on and live in a different place. But I think talking to them and telling them what's going on is a really, really good idea.
Yeah, definitely. Because like they were people once too.
Exactly. And I think it's important to tell them what's going on. It's like, okay, here's what's happening and I'm going to be leaving, but you need to stay here and someone else will move in and you'll, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But this is where I change the story. And I'm going to go do my own thing. Because you also don't want them going with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
I don't know. Chuck is definitely sensitive, though, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the complete archive. That's a lot of shows. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.